be reading from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fishes that their nets were beginning to burst. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled the boat so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were astounded at the catch of fish that they had taken, and also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. And God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word.
I don't know about you, but I'm a fighter. Do you have any fighters? Not physical. Okay. I'm not talking about physical fighters. I'm talking about those who can fight for the things of the Spirit. Amen? People that can pull heaven down. Amen? People that can stand in the place of prayer for hours and to contend for what they can perceive God is doing. I want to talk about the season that I'm in the next few minutes. And it's a season of believing God for miracles. Amen? We need to see God. Oh, come on, church. There's more to God than what you see. Amen? And that's why my message this evening is, let's see it again. And I'm going to explain what that is in a few minutes. This was probably 15 years ago, I once asked a man in a church setting, "How big is your God?" And the guy did like this. Let's try it again. I told him, "Sit down." I went to him and I said, "How big is your God?" And he went like this. There's no way to describe the bigness of God. Are you with me? In this city, in this church, we need to see God and ask him to do those things that we have seen, to do them again. Hallelujah. Mama Kemi is a witness. Sorry, I'm going to be referring to her. But the truth is, we have seen miracles. I don't know about you, but in a meeting some years ago in an African country, I saw a blind man's eyes the man was totally blind, his eyes opened under the power of God. Amen? Come on, somebody. I'm not joking. The lady, his wife took this man to the market the following day. It's a true story, and Mama Kemi can bear witness to this. It was in a crusade, in a public crusade, where God was moving in power. And then suddenly the crowd erupted because many people knew this man. And then suddenly his eyes opened. This was on a Friday. Okay? It's a country full of Muslims. So for them, market opens on a Sunday. So the wife took this man to the market. And many people saw this man with his eyes opened. And I'm not joking. They said, what happened? They said, it's the church down that, you see that church? That's what happened. And the crowd from the village. I'm telling you a true story. Look, they're coming. The crowd from the village, they ran straight to the church. When the pastor saw the crowd, he went and locked the door. Mama Kemi is a witness here. I'm telling you a true story here. And the man phoned me. He said, Pastor, there's a crowd out there. What should I do? I said, lay hands on them. I've seen a man. This was another country. We were ministering in a public square, and I'm asking myself, would I do these things again? Yes, I would do it. It's crazy faith, like Andrew's been talking about. It's crazy faith, but we're gonna do it. They didn't know Jesus. I told the people to bring the worst case in the village. Bring it to me. Bring it to Jesus. I'm telling you a true story. If you don't believe me, if anybody knows Jacqueline Brown, go and ask her. She'll tell you. Most of the team ran away. Say, Pastor, what are you doing? They brought this man in a wheelchair. Tell me. They brought the man in a wheelchair. They brought him to me. He's like, let's see. I just prayed a simple prayer in the name of Jesus, and the man got up and started walking. The whole crowd erupted that the policemen had to come in and grab me and took me away. They said, they'll kill you. Not killing me in terms of I've done something wrong, in terms of do it to us. I can go on and on and on and on and on about the... You see, me standing here, I testify to the miracle power of God, even in my own life. And that's why, in the name of Jesus, we need to see it again. It's time. It's time we all, not just pastors or leaders, it's time we all demonstrate that the God that we serve is alive. Amen? The Bible says that signs and wonders. You know, a miracle is something that you cannot do in the natural. Amen? It's something that you can't do in the natural. It's going to come from above. And please show me the scripture where God said, in my generation, it's going to stop miracles. If you can show me the verse, the scripture, and who had the boldness to write it, because I'm sure Matthew won't write that kind of thing, neither will Paul. Let's see something again. Luke chapter 5. Ladies, you gotta tell me when to stop. I forgot to put my timer on. All right? So just because me, I'm an African man. I can preach for 5 hours. You'll be here for 10 hours today. And I will not apologize. Is that excitement or you want to go home? Let's start in verse 1 because I want to bring something out of these verses. The Bible says in verse 1, so it was factual that a multitude, many people, multitude, they pressed about him. And the only thing these guys were contented with is to hear the word. That's all. That's all. That's all. Some people, just good sermons, that's all. They probably did not understand that Jesus at that present time had the power and the miracle to turn people's lives around. Because we're going to see it in a few minutes. What are you pressing for tonight? Is it just the word? We need something bigger, greater than the word. Because we know that the Bible tells us that at the, you know, after you've preached the word, signs and wonders must follow. We've got to see it in the name of Jesus. And I'm not being boastful here. We're going to see people bringing people from Hammersmith Hospital, Charing Cross, coming here on a Sunday morning for healing. Come on. You know, I watched a documentary, was it on Friday, on the National Health Service. This is not the time to be sick. There's no beds. We need miracles. I'm telling you, you cannot be sick. I'm telling you, did anybody, it was on Friday. There's a documentary. People in the corridor for 9 hours. And I thought, Father, thank you for the healing power of God. No, I'm not, you understand, I'm not being critical or anything about anybody that is being challenged with their health, but I'm saying, I know that we serve a God. There's a land. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Because I know sometimes people can be contented, they can be satisfied with where they are. These guys, they were pushing him, you know, pushing him, breaking the crowd, pulling one another over just to hear the word. Just to hear the word. Just to hear the word. Okay? So the Bible says, so it was that the multitude, they pressed about him to hear the word. Okay? And for one reason, he moved away from them and he found some boats that he used as a pulpit. Meanwhile, could you imagine that the boat owners were busy mending their nets? They couldn't be concerned about, come on. You know, they've walked all night, they've been tarrying all night, and they were not even bothered by hearing the word. For them, the word is what? The word is what? The word is what? What is what? What do you need to press in tonight? Amen. And the truth is, what are you hungry for? What keeps you awake at night that you need God to solve and resolve in your life? What do you need God to do for you? What are your requests? And if you don't have, what about the people around you? What are their needs? What are we contending for in the place of prayer? Amen. What are we saying to God? Or are we just satisfied? Thank God for good. And you know me, guys. Well, you don't know me. But I'm not against singing. That's not the point. But I'm saying we've got to press into something greater. Amen. We've got to push in prayer. We've got to believe God. We must have audacious faith to believe him. And say, these things must change. I've seen things, people of God, even in this place. That's why I'm saying, God, we've got to see these things again. We've got to see these things again. Amen? You know the history of this church? When they opened it many years ago, wheelchairs, everything, down there. Are you satisfied with where you are? Hallelujah. The Bible says, I've got to move verse 5. Okay, verse 4, verse 3 says, then he got into the boat of Simon and he asked him to put out a little while in the land, and he sat down and he taught the multitude. He moves from people hearing the word of God and he taught. And people, and there's nothing wrong with the teaching of Jesus. There's nothing wrong, of course. Amen. We need to be taught. But I'm saying, is that all you want? Is that all you want in your life? Just some, well, you can't fault it. It's the best teaching. But for some guys, they did not know that Jesus was the miracle provider. He taught them. Verse 4, when he had stopped speaking, finished preaching. What was the crowd doing after he finished preaching? Sir, I've got a need. Sir, I've got a need. Sir, I've got a need. Sir, pray for me. Thank God for that preaching. Sir, pray for me. Sir, can I go and bring this? He stopped preaching. He stopped preaching. And then he said to Simon, he said, launch out. To launch out means I want you to release. You need to understand what is happening here. Because the very thing that these guys have been doing all night, Jesus said, do it again. He said, launch out into the deep. So you guys, are you able to release something? Are you able to exercise your faith? Are you able to do what I say? Can you launch out? Can you release? Can you release your boat? Can you release your boat into the deep? Can you release your boat into the deep? And then he says, and let down your net for a catch. Oof. Now, people of God, there's preaching and there's preaching. Now, this is preaching. Amen? This is preaching. Because after this kind of preaching, a miracle is going to occur. This is preaching. This is the kind of preaching that we need to hear. The kind of preaching that activates you. The kind of preaching that moves you to do something. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? That's the kind of preaching we need. I'm sure that's the kind of preaching that Mama Kemi and Andrew spoke about this morning and this evening. Amen. Hallelujah. The kind of preaching that gets you to do something. Amen. Jesus said, release that boat. Amen. Have you ever been there before? Release that money. You release it by faith. Amen. Release that thing. Release it. There's preaching and there's preaching. There's teaching and there's teaching. But there's a teaching that activates something in the realm of the spirit. There's a preaching that causes something to happen. The ones that had the fancy word, they have left. Now the real preaching is happening. Because Jesus is speaking. Amen. Ah, they've gone home. Oh, nice. I've heard it before. Oh my God. I can never forget the story of one brother. This is many years ago. He went to a watch light service. And the only thing he could talk about all day after the watch light service, it was actually the moving into a new year. Could you imagine? This guy was moving into a new year. This is many years ago. And the only thing he could talk about is the pastor's hairstyle. Oh, okay. I'm telling you. That's all. That's all he could talk about. If I tell you the person, some of you say, okay, no wonder. But I won't tell you who it is. You dream. Probably the Lord will tell you, but I'm not going to tell you. You get what I'm saying? He went to church. Watch night service. And the only thing he could talk about is the pastor's hairstyle. Somebody help me. Why are you here tonight? Because as pastors, we always pray the prayer. Don't leave the same way you came in. If the miracles are there. I wonder, you understand? I wonder, because Jesus was seeing something in this man's life, you understand? He never said it to the crowd, but he said something to those boys that were actually, they didn't even listen to the word. You understand? They were busy mending their net. They were busy doing something else. But Jesus said three things. Launch out, which means release. Release. Release that which you have. Release. Launch out into the deep, which means go further, further, further away from the crowd. Launch out into the deep. And the next thing I want you to do is to let down the net. That's good preaching. That's powerful preaching. Hallelujah. That's the best preaching. There's no record. I mean, you understand? There's no record of what Jesus said to the crowd. That's why many, many years ago, I refused to be part of the crowd. I'm telling you, I'm tired. I'm not part of no crowd. Amen. I want to press into Jesus. The Bible says in verse 5, but Simon, he responded. He answered him. And this is what he said. The first thing he said, which these people probably did not know or had no clue who he was. And these kind of words, they give revelation away. In terms of, he probably knew something that the crowd didn't know. Because when he responded to Jesus, he calls him Master. The other people, they knew him as Rabbi. Who do you know him as? They knew him as teacher. He said Master. He didn't even call him. Look, do you understand? Now, please understand what I'm saying. The experience of Peter Simon was seeing a teacher. He saw somebody preaching. That's all he saw. Amen? He saw, you know, Jesus is teaching. The guy is busy over there, and he's looking at him. And what Jesus did, there was no miracles. There was no signs and wonders. There was nothing, you know. So what Jesus was doing was teaching. He was teaching. Amen. He was teaching the crowd. But when Jesus now preached to him, he moved from knowing Jesus as a teacher to the one who owns everything, Master. Master. Come on. We call him Master. Come on, somebody. We call him Master. We call him Master. We don't just know him as a teacher, but we call him Master. Come on. Yes, that's who he is. A master owns everything. He's a master. Hallelujah. He's a master. He is the master of your miracle. I'm telling you, he is the master of what you need. He could have called him anything. You understand? His 5 minutes experience with him was an experience of a teacher. He could have called him Rabioni, teacher. But he didn't. He said, Master. I'm telling you, something is changing tonight in the realm of the spirit for us. Something is changing. And the truth is, something must change for us. Because we do have a master. Amen. What NHS cannot fix, the master will fix. Come on, somebody. What your bank cannot fix, the master will fix. Hallelujah. What your parents cannot fix, the master will fix. What sadly cannot fix, the master will fix. Children of God, we have a master. Amen. We have a master. There's a master in this house. Amen. Amen. We thank God for the rabbi. We thank God for Jesus, rabbi. But today, we choose to call him Master. He's Master Jesus. Amen. Come on. Don't you understand? You've been in school before. All the power of your secondary, primary school belongs to, I mean, we used to fear headmasters as if they were lords. I mean, come on, I went to school in Nigeria. When the headmaster calls you to his office, you know you're dead. Dead, you're dead, you're gone. You're gone, you're dead. You're dead. Unfortunately, I went to a secondary school in Nigeria where the headmaster was my dad's senior in secondary school. Oh, yeah. It's not even that, but they used to have, I know they don't do this kind of things here, but in Nigeria, they have used to have old boys association. So my headmaster will say, I will see your father next weekend. That's it. That's all he said to me. Aweyara, I will see your father next weekend. We used to fear those men. We used to fear them. You know why? Because they were headmaster. They had power, they had authority, and they had control. Now just imagine Master Jesus. Imagine Master Jesus. What is it that you need tonight? Master Jesus is in control. Okay. What is it? He said, Master. He said, we have toil. The word toil there is labored. When a seasoned fisherman tells you they have labored, then they know what they're saying. You understand? He's an expert. These guys are experts. You understand? They come from generation of fishermen. They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They know where to go. You understand? They know what to do. Amen. It's not the first time they've gone fishing. And then they use the word, they said, Master, because this time Jesus is speaking, they said, Master, we have labored, we have toiled. Hallelujah. We have toiled. What is it? He said, we have toiled all night. Say, we have toiled all night. I mean, you know. I don't know why, but sometimes because of the tide and because of the moon, actually fish come out at night. The best time to fish, I'm not just talking about, you know, taking one salmon. I'm not talking about that. Yeah, I'm not talking about that kind of fish. I'm talking about you want to catch fish in multitudes, you do it at night. The trawlers, you got to do it at night. Because both the tide and then the sun, the atmosphere helps the fish come to feed. Now this guy who's a seasoned fisherman, when he says we have toiled all night, he knows what he's talking about. He said we have labored. Come on, we have labored all night. Look, normally we drink for 2 hours and we've got the kill. Amen. But this time, I don't know why. Don't ask me why. But Jesus, we have labored. Has anybody labored before? I have. Well, you've labored and labored. I'm telling you and I prophesy, your labor is coming to end today. Your labor is over. Come on. Your labor days is over. The master is in charge. The master is here tonight. Master Jesus is in town tonight. He said, we have toiled all night. And he said, you know what? He said, we have caught nothing. And when he says nothing, not even one, not even a crab, not even a, we call it Titus. We don't call it Titus here. Somebody help me. No, it's, we call it Titus in Nigeria. It's something, mackerel, that's it. It's a mackerel. We call it sandine in Nigeria. Funny enough, when I went to Nigeria, I just knew that what we call mackerel here, they call it Titus sandine in Nigeria. Not even a small fish. They caught nothing, which means their labor was in vain. Come on. There was nothing to sell, nothing to eat, because they had toiled all night and caught nothing. We've all been there before. We've all tried and labored and pushed, but nothing happened. And I'm saying to you today, Master is here. Because when Master is here, things change. Things change. Hallelujah. Say, we have labored all night and caught nothing. He said, nevertheless, hallelujah, come on. Which means, let me by myself, through myself, I choose by myself. Nobody is telling me to do anything. But you know what I'm going to put that sentiment aside. Come on, somebody. Amen? Nobody is talking to me. But I'm choosing to put that sentiment, my past history, my past whatever. You know what? Master, you know, because the first revelation he had was the word master. So I am going to put that experience. I'm a seasoned fisherman. I know what to do. And the truth is, any fisherman will tell you, don't go and nobody catches fish during the day. Understand? Nobody. Those guys will tell you. But when Master Jesus is in town, that which normally happens at night would happen during the day. I'm telling you. That which normally happens during the day would happen at night. When Jesus turns up. When the master is in charge. So I said, nevertheless, hallelujah, at your word. Now, this is what, you understand? This guy is moving away from I know him as a preacher. Now he's saying, I know you as the authority of the word. That when you speak, things must happen. Amen. We move away from just hearing good sermons. We know at the preaching of the word that the word of the Lord never will never return unto him void. That when God speaks, when he says, let there be light, there shall be light. We understand the authority of the word of God. We know there's power in the word of God. We know that when God speaks, everything happens. We move away from just hearing good sermons. And by the way, I'm just telling us and challenging us that we need to put into practice the very thing that we hear. Say, nevertheless, at your word. Amen. So what is happening here? The word of God versus an experienced fisherman. Who wins? Because he can argue. I'm telling you, listen, in the name of Jesus, get rid of those arguments in your mind. Get rid of them. They're not helping you. You could have argued. He's experienced. He could have called up his grandfather. He could say, granny, well, I'm cool. This guy, rabbi, he's telling me to go fish. And the grandfather said, don't mind him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Because anybody will tell you. You don't go fishing at that time of the day. He will tell, what does he do? He's a rabbi. Don't mind him. Come back home. Don't mind him. Amen. Amen. It's experience of what we've been through and what we know versus the word of God. What are you going to believe? Are you with me? It's your experience, what you've been through from your childhood, from your infancy, from your teenage years. You know, all those things. You add them all together versus a guy that you meet just now. Are you with me? A guy that you've just encountered. Amen. And he's reversing everything. He's mashing up your brain. Amen. For a miracle, Jesus, mash up my brain. Come on, somebody. Mash it up. Mash it up. Mash up my brain for a miracle. Mash it up. I'll take it. Come on. For a miracle, I would accept a mashed up brain. Any day. Any day. Mash up my brain. Amen. Because sometimes our brain ain't doing us no good. He's just telling, can be done, can be done, can be done, can be done. Grandfather would tell you too, that even my great, 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 great grandfather, when they go fishing at night. How much of famine? You better tell me, because I've lost count. Hallelujah. Tell me, till when? Oh, you're not talking. She's been polite. Are you with me? Come on, somebody. Mashed up brain. I'll take it anytime. Take it anytime. He said, nevertheless, at your word. He said, you know what he now does? He repeats the very words of Jesus. Now, the word of Jesus becomes his own word. He said, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. That's what Jesus told him to do. He repeats it. He said, I'm going to do exactly what you told me to do. Amen. You know, in the name of Jesus, we fall in line with the word. Amen. All of us, we fall in line. Tonight, we fall in line. Come on, somebody. For a miracle, we fall in line. We fall in line. We fall in line. If Jesus says, do this, just do it. Amen. I can tell you miracles. Can I tell another story? This was my student days in this place. It was me and a friend. This is how we understood the power of God's provision. In those days, we were students and we were poor. God would just say, go stand there. I'm telling you, it always works, always works. God would say, go stand there. Within 5 minutes of me standing there, somebody would give me money. I don't know whether they saw me and said, you poor man, and said, but it worked. So I began to learn how to obey God. God would say, go stand there. I go stand there. It doesn't work anymore if I stand there. God says, well, you stand there for yourself. But those are the days where I learned to listen and understand and obey God. And it worked. I'm telling you, we just stand there. Tayo. Here you are. I learned. That's what he said. He He said, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Hallelujah. Verse 6. And when they had done this, when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and something that they have never experienced before, because fishermen, they know the quantity before. They have an idea of what they need to catch. Amen. But this is an abundance. This is beyond human understanding. Hallelujah. Amen. This is beyond something that your mind or your brain can comprehend. Amen. Amen. The same place. Are you with me tonight? The same place. Where did those fish come from? Amen. The voice of God. The word of God. As God spoke, those fish were obeying. The Bible said that their nets began to break. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, so the signal, could you imagine? They began to signal. Oh, I like that kind of thing. Amen. Where you testify about what God has done to you and you get others to see. Come and enjoy. Come, somebody, come and enjoy. Oh, God is good. God is good. They signaled to the people and said, come and see what God has done. Come and see what God has done. Hallelujah. Come and see what God has done. Hallelujah. Let me try and finish. 7, they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats. That's a miracle. That even the boats began, do you see? Even the boats began to sink. It didn't sink, but it began to sink. What am I trying to say tonight? We're gonna reach out to God. What am I trying to say? There's two things I'm saying to this congregation tonight and to myself. The first thing, if Jesus tells you to do it again, would you do it? If Jesus says, do it again. I've seen it before. We've argued. We argue. Oh, no. I just don't understand. I've just done it. Argument. You know what they say? Argument is the worst form of prayer. Don't argue. Because you're saying something, but you're arguing. Don't argue. Don't pray. Don't argue. Believe. Don't argue. Why are you going to argue with God? If he says, do it again, the very thing that you've just done it. And what you're doing now, you're preparing for tomorrow. You see, you've forgotten about today. You know, when they were mending their nets, they were actually preparing for tomorrow. They had forgotten. Amen. Have you given up on your today? You understand? Mending the net means they were preparing their nets for tomorrow. They never believed that anything could happen today. They've given up. Have you given up on your today? It is just 7 o'clock. Don't you think that God can do something at 9 o'clock, at 10 o'clock, at 11 o'clock? When do you give up? You never give up. You never give up. When you sing that song, Psalms 118 verse 24, this is the day that the Lord has made. Believe it. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. The day doesn't begin on another day until 12 midnight. You believe him. Believe God that even this Sunday, a miracle can still happen to you. In the name of Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't say this step. You know, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Amen. Anything can happen. An office that does not work can open on your behalf. I'm telling you. Something, anything can happen on your behalf when God speaks. So the first thing I say is, if God says do it again, would you do it? Would you do it? The only way you can do it, when you understand that he's the master. He's in absolute control of everything, regarding anything and everything. He's master. The second thing I'm going to say to you is, can we pray we want to see these things again? Some of you haven't seen, you will see. Some of you have seen. I've seen. I've seen. Sometimes we go cold. We follow the crowd. I've seen things, even in my own life. I've seen things. I've seen doctors speak. I can't even understand. She knows this. Speaking rubbish over my life. In front of a doctor. Talking rubbish. I'm telling you. Now, I bless every doctor in the house. I bless you. But don't tell me what God is not saying about me. Now, come on. I don't understand. Sitting me down and telling me, you got this, you got that, you got that. You got this. I spoke in my local language. I say, whatever this is not me. I'm telling you, it's not me. You can't, you're describing somebody else. I'm telling you. I'm not joking. That's Mama Kim, she's there. When we left the hospital, my friend called and said, this guy is mad. He said, the only thing he's talking about, I'm telling you, she's there. He said, the only thing this guy is talking about is, can we go and eat Nando's after the report they gave him? I said, I'm hungry, man. Let's go eat Nando's. Because whatever that guy said ain't my report. You understand what I'm saying? You know why? No, please understand me. Because I encountered Jesus on my sick bed. I'm telling you. I encountered Jesus. I'm not joking. 14 days in hospital, I encountered Jesus. When Jesus came to me, I said, I will deliver you from strange tongues. So that doctor was talking strange things to me. Now, I'm not saying you do the same. You better get your own revelation, please. Get your own revelation. But I know what God said to me. Psalm 144. He said, I will deliver you. I deliver you from strange tongues. I deliver you. Amen. And I'm saying, Father, I want to see those things, even if it's not on my own behalf, on behalf of others. That I can get a word on behalf of others. I say, what that doctor is saying, we refute it. Come on. Whatever that doctor is saying, we don't agree. Amen. We need to agree. Even if the miracle is not ours, we need to agree with one another. We need to spread the blessing. That's what Simon Peter did. We need to spread the blessing. The Bible says he signaled. We need to spread the blessing. We need to spread the blessing of what God is doing in KT. We need to signal to others. Say, come, come. The master is in this house. I promise you in the name of Jesus Christ that I serve. I promise you that Sunday by Sunday, we will see the hand of the master in this place. I declare in the name of Jesus. I declare that Sunday by Sunday, the master's hand shall be evident in this place. The master's hand that we will signal to people to come and see the master. Is anybody here? The master is here tonight.